Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week I want to focus on just briefly my ADHD diagnosis. And then I want to talk a bit about BMI, body mass index, okay? So firstly, to start off with ADHD, so I just have my notes here on my phone. So this is actually another thing that's made my life so much easier, even before I knew I had it, is just making lists and taking notes. Because I'm so forgetful. If you've been listening to this podcast since the start, how many times have you heard me say, what was I going to say again? I actually forget what I was going to say. Like, that is literally nearly a prime symptom of attention deficit disorder. So obviously I have it. And you know, what is it? So basically, let's just kind of break it down for anyone who's been living under a rock. It stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. So it's a medical condition. A person with ADHD has differences in brain development and brain activity that affect attention, the ability to sit still and self-control. So obviously it affects kids, and then adults might only realize that they have it in adulthood, and you know, they probably had it from when they were kids. I think I had it when I was a child, and it obviously just flew under the radar because I used to always think ADHD I used to kind of correlate it to like the bold kids in class, because remember they used to always kind of get that label, oh, he has ADHD, that's why he's so bold, that's why he's so hyper. But it actually can show up in other ways too. It doesn't mean that like you're a wild child. Like I was definitely not a wild child in school. I definitely wasn't bold. I was moderately well behaved, but looking back at my school reports, I do remember seeing certain things popping up, like Enya is a pleasant child to teach, but she tends to be a bit of a daydreamer. So again, attention deficit. So I found out that I had the combined type. So I have a bit of both. So attention deficit and the hyperactive side. However, I'm not someone that kind of has to be like, you know, sitting there and fidgeting constantly. But what I do, hyperactivity can be associated with not being able to sit still for long periods, but that doesn't mean that you're fidgeting. It just means that you don't have the attention span, especially when you're not interested in something, and you can just get a bit restless. So for example, if I go to a wedding in a church, I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, this is going to be about 90 minutes long, constantly checking my watch. Like, I just don't have the patience for stuff like that, where I'm not going to be like, you know, jumping up and down like a jack in the box. It doesn't mean like you're hyper and it's like you're on speed or something. Like, I get very impatient in traffic and stuff like that. And, you know, I do have a bit of road rage, just ask me what I have. And then, you know, queues, or like, I get very overstimulated in like crowded areas if I can't like move swiftly. So like, if I was at a festival, you know, the way people are coming at you from behind you, side to side you, I get very overstimulated in that. And I'm just like, I just want to get to where I need to be, and all of these people are getting in my way. Like, I get really impatient with stuff like that. Again, can't sit still. But yeah, I had the combined type, and I had to fill out a lot of forms. Basically, I had to tick a lot of boxes. So how did I find out about it? Well, I was on TikTok and I seen this girl pop up, and she was talking about her symptoms and who she went with to get diagnosed. And it was ADHD Now. That's the name of the company. Let me just double check that. They're an Irish company, actually. Now, how much did it cost? So they do 3 sessions, okay? So the initial consult, I think, is about €85. So, you know, why do you think you have it? You know, pleased to meet you. Tell me a bit about your background. It was all done online. So I was assigned to a psychologist. She was American. She was a lovely woman. We had the initial consult call. And then the second one, they obviously send you out forms. Well, via email, you just print them out. Send you out forms and you tick loads of boxes. And then you have another Zoom. And when you send those forms back, then you have another Zoom and they talk you through, and they're like, okay, well, first of all, you have it. They tell you straight away. And then they send you another set of forms, I think. Again, forgetfulness. But the tour Zoom is basically they write up a whole report, and they're just like, yeah, you have it. X, Y, and Z, this is what it means. You know, and then they give you, I think that was a tour Zoom, and then like they give you a free CBT session. Okay, so that's scheduled for actually next week. So this all happened in the space of a month. You have to take a lot of boxes and fill out a lot of forms. Like, it is a little bit time consuming, but it gave me peace of mind. But they give you a free CBT session, so they obviously give you the option to go down the medication route. But I haven't decided whether I want to do that yet. But the CBT session is basically, they just assign someone to you to have a free consult. You know, it's like kind of a one-on-one thing on Zoom. So, and you have ADHD, this is what you lack in, this is how you can improve your life, this is how you can make life easier for yourself. You need to learn this way as opposed to a normal person has to learn X, Y, and Z. But even the psychologist, Janice was her name, she said to me when she said, you have it. So congratulations, you've made it this far in life without even knowing that you had it. So, you know, it's obviously not going to hold me back or hinder me in any way. However, I will be a lot kinder to myself and, you know, I won't be calling myself lazy. I won't be getting frustrated with myself when I can't remember things, because it was getting to a stage where I was thinking, how is my short-term memory so bad? Like, it was starting to freak me out. And I just started to notice a pattern the last couple of years. I'm like, did I hit my head? Like, did I actually hit my head? Is that why my memory is just so bad all of a sudden? But I don't know, maybe it was always like that. And I just started paying attention to it all of a sudden, you know? But even in college, when it came to assignments and stuff, like, I would leave it to the last possible minute. And that's another symptom as well, is that you lose interest and you daydream and you drift a lot more easier. Or it worsens when it comes to something you're not interested in. But if it's something you're interested in, like, for example, in school, I was really interested in business studies and art and geography, and I would pay attention a lot in those classes. But the other subjects, I would tend to drift. I wouldn't be messing in class, but I would just find it hard to concentrate. I would start daydreaming and stuff like that. You know, my mind would wander. So little things like that, you know. And then when I started working in retail, I used to be really, really intimidated going into workplaces, which is why, you know, I think I wanted to work for myself. That was kind of a big reason, because I used to work at a place called Extravision, right? Obviously, you know, it was a DVD rental shop where DVDs went to die. It's not open anymore, unfortunately. Bring back Extravision, the good old days. But my boss would give, I think it was only 19 when I started there, my boss would give me a set of instructions and I'd process about 40% of it and I'd walk away and I'd forget half it and I'd be like, oh my God, what did he just say? And then I'd be getting anxious thinking that I'm going to do this task the wrong way or I'm not going to do it properly. And the more anxious I got, the more mistakes I would make. And it was just like a vicious cycle. Yeah, it was really bad at processing direction. Like, and the only person I can take direction from is myself. And I even notice it, you know, like, obviously I'm an online coach, but sometimes when I'm sending out emails to clients and stuff like that, like, I'll double check to make sure like that the grammar is correct and you know, all that. And if there's any mistakes and stuff, and I'll double check it and I'll send it and I'll look back at it and I'll realize I missed like 3 or 4 mistakes. And I'm like, oh my God, like, that's so unprofessional. But that's just the way I'm wired. So I used to get really frustrated about stuff like that. And I'm like, is everyone like this? Does everyone procrastinate when it comes to college assignments and leave it to the final hour? Does everyone struggle with concentration when it comes to college? You know, is everyone like this in the workplace? They struggle to process instructions. Is everyone this clumsy? I used to be really, really hard on myself, but now I know why. And it's just such a relief that, again, I can just be kinder to myself and I can... They call it neurodivergent, okay? This is what the psychologist said. And yet you are neurodivergent and you are living in a world that's built for non-neurodivergent people. So, you know, we are a minority and we're trying to fit into a world that's not made for us. Like, we have to learn differently to everybody else. Does it mean you're like, you know, not intelligent? No, absolutely not. We just process things differently. That's about it. We learn differently. And so if I was to work for somebody else, I actually get a letter. It's actually recognized by the HSE. I can get a letter, okay? So I bring it into the workplace and be like, look, I have ADHD. I just learn a bit differently to other people. I excel at these tasks. I don't excel at these tasks. Where can you place me? And they have to accommodate that. They have to be like, okay, you have ADHD. Well, we're not going to make you do X, Y, and Z because, you know, you might make more mistakes in that category or this situation. So we'll make you do this because you excel at that, you know. So I'd be more of a practical person, like, you know, well, I'm not saying practical, like, I wouldn't be able to put a wardrobe from IKEA together by myself. But I just tend to, like, for example, like, I do stand-up comedy, like, I excel at that. Like, I stand on stage and I perform, you know, whereas, like, sitting at a desk looking at Excel sheets and, you know, when I worked in offices like marketing and advertising and stuff, like, I had to deal with a lot of Excel sheets. Now, I don't remember making much mistakes, but if someone said, okay, Anya, this is what we're going to get you to do today, you need to do this, you need to do that, and I would literally be like, can you write that down for me, because I would forget it, and I'd be like, I'd be afraid to ask again because I would be afraid it would come across as unprofessional. Can you explain that again? But again, it's because I had an attention deficit disorder, and that's all it was. And it wasn't because, and I used to call myself lazy. I used to call myself, and are you stupid? Like, how can you not process this information? And I'm going to get to the consult form now. When I was filling it out, I knew when I was ticking these boxes, I was like, I have it. Before she even tells me that I have it, I know I have it. So they ask you like loads of questions that fall under different categories. Like, for example, there was a few sheets now, but I'm just going to use this top one here. So there was a section called carelessness. The second one was difficulty sustaining attention in activities. The third one was doesn't listen. Number four was no follow through. Five, can't organize. Six, avoid/dislikes tasks requiring sustained mental effort. Seven, loses important items. Eight, easily distractible. Nine, forgetful in daily activities. So they were all the different sections, and they had questions underneath each section, and you had to tick a box: mild, moderate, or severe. So I'm just going to tell you the ones that I clicked severe in. Okay, so we'll start with carelessness. So which one was this? Do you have trouble with detailed work? Yes. Next question: do you not check your work? So I do check it, but sometimes I don't, assuming that it's correct, and then I send it off and I realize it has heaps of mistakes. The next one was, are you messy or sloppy? Like, I do find like my work environment sometimes can be a bit sloppy, and that can actually make me anxious. Even my car, like, you know, if it gets messy over the period of a week, you know, when you're just jumping in now and everything, just, I think everybody's like that anyway, but yeah, I can get very stressed when things are messy or sloppy, but it's down to my own fault. This is actually the next question. Is your desk or workspace so messy that you have difficulty finding things? Like, yeah, like, you know, even a pen, like I just had a pen here a few minutes ago. Like, where am I after putting it? And next section, difficulty sustaining attention in activities. So which one was the severe one? Does it take a lot longer than it should to complete tasks because you can't keep your mind on the task? Yes. And to be honest, like, I think that gets worse because of social media. I think like the likes of social media has ruined our attention span in general, but people with ADHD probably suffered that bit more. But I'll always find ways to distract myself. That's literally what it is. Is it even harder for you than some others that you know? Yes. So I would constantly compare myself to people in my workplace or people in college and be like, how do you find this so simple? Like, how do you find this task so straightforward? How are you able to sit there and do this so easily? Like, you know, when you used to look at the smart kids in your class and be like, how are they able to just do this? Like, you know, how do they make it look so simple? And I don't even think it came down to like, oh, they're just like academically better. I just think they had better concentration. Like, that's what I put it down to anyway. And some people are gifted when it comes to maths and stuff like that. But yeah, some people just had better attention spans. And I would be really hard on myself about that and give myself a hard time being like, you're stupid, you're this, you're that. But no one ever said that to me. No one was like, oh, you're stupid. You know, it was me saying it to myself. Do you have trouble remembering what you read? And do you need to reread the same passage several times? Oh, like, even today, like, you know, in this day and age, when I read, I will drift off when I'm reading halfway down the page. It's like, you know, when you go into autopilot when you're driving because you know like the route so much. Like, I would know the route like the back of my hand to get to the gym because I do it so often. I could nearly drive with my eyes closed. But when I'm reading, my eyes just scan the page, but I'm not actually taking any information because my mind is somewhere else. Like, my mind drifts. That's exactly what it's like, which is why I actually don't read that much. But I've actually tried to get into reading a lot more. But for me, podcasts would probably, or audiobooks actually suit me better rather than like staring at a page, you know. The next part is doesn't listen. Okay, so these were the ones that I tick severe for. Do people, brackets, spouse, boss, colleagues, friends, complain that you don't seem to listen or respond or daydream when spoken to or when asked to do a task? Yeah, so like my other half would be like, are you even listening to me? He's like, you're not even looking at me when I'm talking to you. Or like, I'd just be like, yeah, yeah. Like, I'd be nodding, but I'm actually not listening. And it's because I'm drifting. And again, you tend to do that when you are listening to things that don't interest you. So if you're talking to someone and, you know, they keep bringing up the same issue time and time again, and you're basically just a soundboard. Like, imagine your best friend just keeps complaining about our fella all the time. And you're like, here we go, this conversation again. I'll drift off because I'm not interested. You know, that's what it's like. It's like I'm not listening to something that resonates with me or like, you know, stimulates me. So I would get that a lot. And then obviously I mentioned that my teachers used to say it about me. The next question, do you find that you miss the key part of conversations because of drifting off in your own thoughts? Does it cause problems? Yes. So just to reiterate that, like someone could give me a set of instructions, like I said, and my brain would only process parts of it. It'd be like a puzzle and I'd be missing parts of the puzzle. So I'd be like, okay, I grabbed this part and I grabbed that part, but I don't know what she said in the middle and I'm afraid to ask again because it's going to look like I wasn't listening. So it actually used to make life harder for me because I was drawing attention to the fact that I wasn't listening because I'm like, could you just repeat that middle part again? And then what it, like, and when someone tells me their name, it goes in one ear and out the other. So before I even knew I had ADHD, this was something that was, you know, does everybody forget, you know, someone's name when they meet them? Or is it just me? So what I've gotten to the habit of doing is repeating their name when they say it to me. So Mary comes up to me, hey, Enya, I'm Mary. I'll say, oh, pleased to meet you, Mary, because if I don't, I'll walk away and be like, I don't remember that girl's name. And then you feel rude having to ask for it again when they just told you. Okay, next section, no follow through. So which one did I tick severe? So the last three. Do you have trouble following instructions, especially complex multi-step instructions that have to be done in a certain order with a different step? So when people like tell me their phone number, like I panic. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to remember this long phone number. Like my boyfriend can remember his bank number off his card. And look, I'm sure with repetition, if I did it enough times, I'd be able to remember the long number on a bank card. Like I know my own phone number, but if someone would be like, okay, take this down, and I hadn't got a pen and I had to try to remember it, I would just, my mind would just like fry. I'd be like, what's like, what? Yeah, I'd just start panicking. Do you need to write down instructions? Otherwise you will forget them. Yes. So again, I just cope better when I write down instructions. So looking back now, if I was to work for someone else and someone was to give me a set of instructions, I'd be like, can I just get a pen and paper and I'll take this down? And that's why they should accommodate you in workplaces. So don't be ashamed. If you have ADHD, like you are allowed to tell them that you have that. And they should understand that, okay, if she has to write these instructions down, it means the job's going to get done properly rather than walking away and hoping for the best and just depending on your memory, which is really bad if you have ADHD. Okay, next section, can't organize. So do you need others to plan for you? I wouldn't say I need others to plan for me, but this basically leads on to the next question, like, do you have trouble with time management? Does it cause problems? Yes. Like I've always been late for like showing up to, you know, work in the past. Probably not like when I worked in retail, but internships, because I knew there wasn't an awful lot to lose. Like I'm only getting paid 100 quid a week. Like this is not going to pay, you know, my mortgage. It's not like a life or death career type of thing. Like I would always turn up late. I would have trouble with procrastination. I would sleep late in the day. I would go to bed late at night and stuff. But since I've actually got into exercise and like, you know, the gym is my lifestyle and eating well is my lifestyle, like I am a lot better with time management, and it has got a lot better in recent times, but there is still specks of it there, you know. Does difficulty in planning lead to procrastination and putting all tasks until the last moment possible? Yeah, so for example, like things that don't interest me. So for my accountant, like I would have to send her my VAT returns every 2 months. And I would leave that to like literally an hour before it's supposed to be submitted. Like loads of other things, simple, like admin work. Like if I had to renew my passport, I'd leave it to the last possible minute. But it has gotten an awful lot better. And I do think that the routine from going to the gym and, you know, sticking to the same meal structure every day, that type of routine and those type of habits have trickled down into other areas of my life. And I think that the better I feel in myself, the better food that I put into my body, the more routine I have, you know, it trickles down into other areas of my life. So I do think that is helping with me. And then the next one, avoid/dislikes tasks requiring sustained mental effort. So this was the next section. And these are the questions they ask you and what I tick severe for. I think I tick severe for everyone bar one. Do you avoid tasks, work chores, reading, board games that are challenging or lengthy because it's hard to stay focused on these things for a long time? So again, a lot of the questions are very repetitive, but the reason they do this is so there's no mistakes. So you might tick yeah in one area And then a similar question will pop up and you might tick no, you know. And then they're like, okay, well, I just don't think she understood the question there. But if it keeps asking the same question, you're just ticking yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, she's definitely lacking attention in this area. And that's why she's clicking yes. So she suffers with this issue. Do you have to force yourself to do these tasks? Like, yeah. So I think another one, it's going to come up now about deadlines. So if it does, I'm obviously repeating myself. But basically, like, I work better when I have a deadline, which is the reason I have an online coach, because of accountability. If I did not have an online coach, I know I wouldn't be as hard on myself. I know I wouldn't have accountability. I know I'd be constantly going over my calories, but I just work better when I have a deadline. Like, if I was told, okay, you have a college assignment, but it doesn't have to be submitted till the last day of the year, like, then I would wait till the last day of the year. But it was like, no, this needs to be submitted in 8 weeks' time on this particular date. Then I would be like, okay. Or when I had to write a book, actually, I have a book coming out in October, and they only gave me, like, I think 6 weeks to write it. And I was like, whoa, like, that's a lot. So I had to be really good with my time management. So what I did was I said to myself, say I had to do 10 chapters in it. I'm like, okay, so 4 days, I'll divide the week up into two. So 3 4-day days, 2 3-day blocks. Each block is going to be a chapter. That's the way I done it. And then I think I like left the last week to like read over everything and make sure there was no mistakes and stuff. But that's the structure that I needed. And if they told me, oh, and you just write it in your own time, whenever you have it finished, you have it finished. If I did not have a deadline, I'd still be writing it today. And I wrote it last October. I'd still be putting it off and putting it off. And then when it came to writing my new stand-up show, for example, I have a call every Monday with another comic who helps me with my jokes, and like, we structure them and stuff like that. If I did not have that call every Monday, I still wouldn't have a new show, and I'd be still putting it on the long finger. And then I'd start having meltdowns the closer that the new show dates were coming around. Oh my God, if I've a live show next week, I don't have any new material, it's my own fault. I would go into a panic. I would spiral. I would beat myself up. So it's gotten an awful lot better. And I realized that accountability and creating deadlines actually helps me. So do you procrastinate and put off tasks until? So the next section is loses important items. Okay, so I ticked moderate for a lot of days, but the last one was, do you need to put items, e.g. glasses, wallet, keys, in the same place each time, otherwise you will lose them? Yeah, well, I think an awful lot of people are like that. Like, a lot of people would leave their house keys in the hall, like on the table and stuff. But I am like that. Like, I have a place for everything in my room, and I'm like, okay, well, that's where my books go. That's where my perfume goes. If I leave my car keys down, they're either always on the kitchen counter, or they're always on my dresser in my room. Like, there's only really, or a pocket in my jacket. Like, there's only really 2 or 3 places that they'll always be. Yeah. And like, for example, I don't carry cash around with me. Like, I hate it because I always lose it. Always lose cash. I'm just a nightmare, like, and I'm really, really careless with it. So I have all my bank cards, like, for convenience, in the back of my phone. Like, I have one of those little pockets that sticks to the back of your phone cover. And that's convenient for me, because if I was to have a separate purse, I would always forget it. I would always leave it at home. Or if I had my cards in different places, I would just struggle to remember. And I'd always be getting to shops and being like, oh, I left the card in the car, or I left the card at home. So yeah. I've learned along the way, before I even knew I had ADHD, what makes my life easier. And then the next one is easily distractible. So what did I tick? What was severe underneath this section? Are you ever very easily distracted by events around you, such as noise, conversation, TV, radio, movements, or clutter? Yeah, so like, I can't sleep if there's even a bit of noise in the background. Like, if I hear snoring from like 3 rooms down, like, good luck, I won't be going to sleep. You know, if I can hear a clock ticking, like, very easily distracted. Like, I actually ordered these earplugs off Amazon. They were called the Loop earplugs. I actually lost one of them recently. Again, losing shit. But I always used to leave them underneath my pillow when I was going to bed, because if I left them anywhere else, I wouldn't remember where they were. But they were like noise blockers, so it would help me sleep. And then my boyfriend, like, when he sleeps, he listens to YouTube, and like, I can find that very distracting. It's all I can focus on. Like, it's all I can hear in the background. I can't like mute it unless I was absolutely knackered tired. What else did I click? Do you need relative isolation to get work done? Yes. So that's why I got those Loop ear plugs as well. Like, I can work better in complete silence. Otherwise, if I was in a coffee shop, I can get very easily distracted by conversations around me, you know, like loud noises and stuff. And then the last one was, there is more sections, but I'd be here all day if I was to go through them. But I'm going to, there was a section actually called Talks Excessively, Blurts Out Answers, Can't Wait for Turn, Intrudes, Interrupts. This was where I started to think I definitely have it. All right, so I'm just going to quickly run through these. Blurts Out Answers, this was one section as well, and there was a number of questions underneath this. Do you give answers to questions before someone finishes asking? Yeah, so that would be mild. Do you say things before it is your turn? 100%. Like, I'd be talking to someone and I'd cut across them straight away with my point of view. Do you say things that don't fit into the conversation? Oh, totally. And it's apparently hereditary ADHD. It can be hereditary. My mother is 100% all of these, so I definitely got it from her. Like, do you say things before it is your turn? Yes. Do you say things that don't fit into the conversation? Yeah. So I just picked this up because my mom always does this. She'd be talking to me about something and she'd be like, oh yeah, I was in the shops the other day and I seen a pair of shoes that I knew you'd love, so I picked them up for you. I got the washing machine fixed. Yeah, your man's gonna come out tomorrow. Oh, by the way, actually, did you fix that drawer in your room? Like, that's me all over as well. Like, I will literally jump from 2 to 3 different conversation topics. So that's when I started thinking, yeah, there's something not right here. Do you do things without thinking a lot? I would say so, yeah. And then the next one is, can't wait for your turn. So there was a number of questions underneath this as well. Is it hard for you to wait your turn in conversation? Yes. In conversation, in queues, while driving. I already explained that earlier. Yes, that was severe. Are you frequently frustrated with delays? Does it cause problems? Yes, mentioned that earlier too. Do you put a great deal of effort into planning to not be in situations where you might have to wait? Yes. So, like, you know, even with the cinema, like, I'll go in to the cinema like a minute before the movie starts because I can't sit through the trailers. Like, I just don't have the patience to sit through trailers. Little things like that, you know. Or like when it comes to the airport, like people leaving like super early and I'm like, no, I prefer to walk through the airport and then walk up to the gate and people are boarding. Like, that's me. I just hate waiting in queues. And then the last section was, again, ticked severe for most of these. Do you talk when others are talking without waiting until you are acknowledged? Yes. And I don't mean it to be ignorant, but it's nearly like an impulse thing. It's like, it's not like, oh, I don't care what you have to say. It's my turn to speak. It's not that. It's like, I can't wait for you to hear my side of the story or my point of view or like how I can relate to that situation. Do you butt into others' conversations before being invited? Yes. Do you interrupt others' activities? Yes. Is it hard for you to wait to get your point across in conversation or at meetings? Yes. So like, I could be having a conversation with someone and it could be just a healthy debate, but I keep cutting across them and be like, oh, hang on a minute. No, wait. Like, I am exactly like that. So yeah, found out that I had it and I still have yet to get the CBT session done, which is next week, I think. So yeah, they were some of the symptoms. So that might resonate with you, but there was a lot of other ones like the hyperactive side. Like, there was a lot of questions on that I just clicked kind of moderate or mild. So I didn't score really high on that. But yeah, so just to summarize, it was about €1,000 for the 3 sessions. They do Klarna as well, so you can pay it off by the month. ADHD Now was the name of the company. They're Irish. It was all done online and it's done with a psychologist. And again, it just gives me peace of mind now. And I can just, obviously, I'll see how the CBT session goes. I might consider the medication route just solely for like concentration and focus. But I battled anxiety through CBT and I was fine. I didn't need medication because I would be afraid that I would start leaning on it as a crutch. And then I'd be like, oh, what am I supposed to do without it? But I have heard that people have, their life has improved because of the medication. They can concentrate so much better. There's just less noise in the background, you know, like, so if that's what's going to help me, then, you know, I'd love to give it a try. But if you are feeling like that, again, all it took for me was to just watch a TikTok video of a girl, you know, she was Irish as well, saying mentioning very similar symptoms to what I've just been reading out. And I said, you know what, I need to get this checked, because parts of you just think to yourself, it's not normal. Like, there's a pattern here. I don't think everyone goes on like this. And it just stops you getting frustrated with yourself. You're going to be a lot more kinder to yourself. You're going to learn how to live that bit better, cope that bit better. Like, I make lists every night before I go to bed. This is what I have to do tomorrow. Like, down to the point where what hours I'm going to eat, because I can run better on structure. I can run better on a routine, and I can run better when I have a schedule. Because if I don't, I wake up and I just like flap about, like, this might get done, this won't get done, or else I'll procrastinate. And then all of a sudden 10 things didn't get done that day. And then it piles up and piles up. And all of a sudden I'm stressed to the max. It's Friday. I should have had X, Y, and Z done by now. So making lists, make sure it just makes sure that I get things done, you know. So anyway, if I forget anything, which I probably will, I will bring it back around at the end of the podcast. But I don't think I will. So we'll move on anyway to BMI, body mass index. So why did I want to talk about this today? So a couple of clients, you know, have been saying to me, or like that want to start with me, or even DMs that I get being like, hey, my BMI says I'm this way and I want to get down to this way, so it says I'm not overweight anymore. Let me just tell you about BMI, all right? Because it's very outdated, and I'll tell you why. Body mass index, it doesn't ask for your gender when you're filling it out, right? And men will weigh heavier than women, okay? Because of their bone density, etc., and their muscle. It doesn't ask for your gender, okay? And it doesn't take into account that how much muscle mass do you have. So, for example, muscle weighs the same amount of fat, but it takes up less surface area, all right? So if you are an athlete, okay, and let's say you lost 60 kg a couple of years ago, not 60 kg, sorry, let's say you were 70 kg and you lost 10 kg and now you're 60 kg, all right? And you're a bit leaner and you've built muscle, you know, over the years, and you're back up to like 66 kg, but it's 6 kg of lean muscle mass that you've added. It's not body fat. Body mass, those BMI calculators will tell that person you are overweight, but it doesn't know that it's 6 kg of muscle on that frame. It processes it as body fat. It just takes all your weight into account and says, you're overweight. So, you know, when you see these lads walking around that are built like fridges, they would be considered overweight on a BMI calculator, even though, say they weigh like 100 kg, 20 kg, that could be muscle mass. But the BMI calculator just thinks it's all fat. So that's why it's not accurate. And, you know, now, look, you can tell by looking at someone if they do carry an awful lot of body fat. But what I would say is go and get a DEXA scanner, okay? Because it's basically like it scans your full body and it tells you how much muscle mass you have, how much fat mass you have, and it gives you a ratio. So it's like, yeah, you have way too much body fat on your frame compared to the amount of muscle that you have. And then that's a really good indicator if you need to lose weight, if you're overweight. And also your height, okay? For example, I'm only like 5'2", 5'3". I have less surface area to spread body fat around my body. So it probably takes me a bit longer to look leaner. Leaner means like, you know, less body fat, more toned. It takes me longer to look leaner as opposed to a taller person who would be like nearly 6 foot. They have more surface area to spread around body fat. So it might look like I'm overweight in the mirror. However, I just have less space to spread around body fat, so I just appear a little bit bulkier, all right? Because someone who is a lot taller has more surface area to spread around body fat, but they could still be the same weight as me, you know? So that's just another thing that it doesn't take into account. You might look at yourself and think you're overweight, but you're just a smaller frame. So I would say as well, smaller women, it just takes longer for them to shift body fat. Well, I wouldn't say to shift it, like you're going to lose it at the same rate. It would take longer for you to notice a shift in body fat dissolving from your physical appearance, because it just, imagine two piles of snow, okay? A huge pile of snow and a smaller pile of snow, and the sun comes out. What's going to melt faster? The smaller pile of snow, okay? Because there's less of it and you're going to notice it like melt quicker, whereas the bigger pile of snow, you're going to see that go down at a slower rate because there's more of it there. And it's the same when it comes to general fat loss. Anyway, if you carry a lot of body fat in your legs, your arse, your midsection, but you don't carry much of it in your arms or your ankles or your calves, where are you going to notice it go first? You're going to notice it go from your face, your arms and your calves, because there's less of it there, but there's more of it in your legs and your midsection. So it's going to take longer, which is, you know, number one of the biggest things that comes into my inbox every day: how do I get rid of belly fat? It dissolves from there a lot slower because women in general carry more body fat in that area. And if you notice with men, like they don't carry an awful lot of body fat on their legs or in their arms. It's usually all around their midsection. But women are similar. Like I store a lot of body fat in my back, in my bum and in my legs. And, you know, I actually don't carry a lot of it on my front section where my belly button is. But where I notice body fat drop from force, where I noticed body fat dissolved, forced, I am actually tripping myself up. I need a Red Bull because where did I see it dissolve forced? I saw it in my face, in my arms, and yeah, like the tops of my shoulders and stuff because there's less body fat there. But the last place I started to see it go was like my arse and the top of my legs and like my midsection. But I kept at it and eventually it did go. So there is no magic pill, okay? You just have to be really fucking patient. But again, if you are smaller, it just looks slower. Whereas like a taller woman might notice they appear leaner a little bit quicker than me just because the body fat is spread out an awful lot better or has a wider surface area to be spread around than me, all right? Who's only like 5'3" as opposed to a woman who would be 6'4". It'd be, you know, like in maths, I forget the name of the actual subject in maths, but how much surface area, remember there was like cylinders and stuff like that, like if you poured a lot of water into a cylinder this size versus a cylinder X, Y size, you know what I'm talking about, like someone could weigh 60 kg and, you know, be the same age as me, same gender, and I could be the exact same, but they look leaner than me, but they're still the same weight as me. They have the same amount of body fat as me, but they're just taller than me. And it's just because they have more space to spread out body fat. So don't be alarmed when you use a body mass index calculator and it tells you that you're overweight. And if you are an athlete and you train a lot and, you know, you could play football, you could play hurling, any type of sport that has allowed you to build muscle mass over a long period of time, it could just be muscle, you know, and you might carry a little bit of fluff. So what? It doesn't mean you're overweight, but you can tell by looking at someone if they were obese. I mean, it's not hard to tell, but if you're using a BMI calculator and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're thinking, I'm not obese, you know, I'm carrying a bit of fluff, but the BMI calculator is telling me that I'm overweight, go get a DEXA scanner. It's just going to give you a better accurate reading. And you're going to find out then, like, are you carrying too much body fat for your body type, for the weight, for the height and the age and the gender and, you know, that you are. It's just a lot more accurate. And then, you know, to know if you're healthy, to know if you're fitter, like check your resting heart rate. Like your heart is a muscle, okay? And it gets stronger the more that you train it, which is where cardiovascular training comes into play. So for example, like I've been doing low intensity cardio for the last 2 years. Like I've been on a Stairmaster, you know, most weeks since 2 years ago. And my heart rate, my resting heart rate, okay, that's a really good indicator if you are fit or not. So for example, my resting heart rate right now is 50 beats per minute, okay? And they say on average 60 to 100 beats per minute is pretty normal. If it's over 100, you can actually check it by your pulse, okay? So literally put a stopwatch on and count and put your finger on your pulse and count how many beats it takes, your heart takes, and within a minute. So I done it earlier and it was 50, okay? Now it used to be about 60, 65 when I wasn't fit. So if it's 60, it doesn't mean that you're not fit, but the more you train, the more cardio you do, and it can just be low intensity or even walking, the more you do that, the stronger your heart gets, because I suppose the less fit that you are, the harder your body has to work, like the harder your heart has to work. So if you're carrying around an awful lot of body fat, like you're, you know, it's like your heart going around with a massive 70, 80, 90 kg dumbbell, it has to work harder. So the more weight that you lose, the less work it has to do. But the more cardio you do, you're making your heart stronger because your heart is a muscle and cardiovascular exercise helps it get stronger. So my resting heart rate has dropped significantly since I started going to the gym religiously 2 years ago. It used to be around 65, now it's 50, okay? So they do say between 40 to 60 is, you know, really is an indicator that you would be like an athlete or someone who's very fit or does exercise for a living or as a profession. You know, and if you're only starting off and your heart rate, your resting heart rate is only about like say 70 or 80, if you keep at it, it will drop over time. And that's a reflection of you becoming fitter, okay? Of you consistently training your heart, of you consistently being out walking, going to spin classes, being on the Stairmaster. But if you're a sedentary person and you are overweight, your resting heart rate is going to be an awful lot higher. So it could be, you know, 70 to 80. And if it's over 100, sometimes mine could be over 100. And that just be, I could have a lot of caffeine in my system. I could be extremely stressed. I think nicotine actually makes it rise as well, your resting heart rate. And then you have your max heart rate, okay? So how quickly can you recover from exercise too is another indication of how fit you are. Like I went on a 5K run and it probably take me like a couple of minutes for me to get my breath back. Whereas like beforehand, it would take me about 10 to 15 minutes. And then when you're in a spin class, and I don't know whether you ever see like getting the red zone and stuff like that, your max heart rate. So it's 220 minus your age. So my max heart rate is 189. So like my heart is working at its max capacity. So that's high intensity training. Okay. And then the fitter you are, the harder it is for you to get into that zone, because your heart's like, no, I'm used to this shit now. You're going to have to keep working harder and keep working harder. Like I notice when I'm on the Stairmaster, I could be doing level 6 on the Stairmaster for 2 to 3 months, and I stay in with it. I stay within a certain heart rate zone on that. Like I think it's low intensity is 125 beats per minute to 140. And then I'm struggling to get into the 125 range all of a sudden. And it's like, my heart's like, yeah, I'm used to this now. You're going to have to go up a level for me to start finding this challenging again. So I had to up it to level 7. So I'm getting fitter, okay? My heart has to work harder now for me to find it challenging. And then, you know, when you're in these high intensity classes, how quickly you recover is a sign of how good your fitness is too. So if you're in the red zone and then, you know, your coach or the trainer in the spin class, like, okay, take a rest. And 5 minutes later, you're still in the red zone. Like your heart is working overtime. It's like, whoa, this is way too hard for me. Like I can't keep up with this. Like I'm putting in an extra shift here. Like this is, whoa, I'm not used to this amount of exercise. If you're still in the red zone 5 to 10 minutes later, like you have really poor recovery and you're not fit, okay? But the more you repeat it, the more you go to these spin classes, the fitter you're going to become, the quicker you're going to recover, because your heart is becoming accustomed to it. It's the same way when you go to a gym. If you were to lift the same weight every week and do the same amount of reps, it would get to a point where your heart's like, oh, your muscles like, yeah, this is too easy now. Like I'm not even fazed by this weight anymore, which progressive overload means you are increasing your reps, you are increasing your weight every couple of weeks, so your muscle continues to find it challenging, you know, and that's a sign of you getting stronger. So yeah, that's a sign of, are you fit? You know, check your resting heart rate. Is it quite high? Is it between like the 80 to 100 range? How quickly do you recover in spin classes? Like, do you come back down to the yellow zone, to the green zone quite quickly, or does it take you a very long period? If you get into the red zone very quickly, that's a sign of being unfit as well, because your heart's like, whoa, like I'm working way too hard for you to even sit on your hole. And now you're coming into a spin class and you're making me do 5 times the amount of work. So yeah, if I went into a spin class now, I would probably struggle to get into the red zone, because my heart is so strong, like it's a muscle, and I'm constantly out walking, I'm constantly on the Stairmaster. Like it would take a lot for me to like be significantly out of breath, because I'm so used to it. But someone who is sedentary and doesn't exercise a lot, they're going to find that an awful lot tougher, okay? So that's how your heart rate can help you know, decipher, am I fit or am I not? Because you can see people that do carry around a bit of fluff, you know, they carry around a bit of excess body fat, but you know, they're out running and they're active and stuff like that, and that obviously, you know, it goes hand in hand. The fitter you are, the more calories you're going to burn, etc. And then you will, if you keep it up, you're eventually going to be, you know, in good shape, but we all have to start somewhere. So do I have anything else? So I think that's pretty much it. So I hope that makes sense. So just don't get caught up on BMI, because I had one girl who said, oh, I want to reach this certain weight. So when I use a BMI calculator, it tells me that I'm at a normal weight. Now I'm at a normal weight on a BMI calculator, but it's still not taking into account my muscle mass. You know, it's just taking into account the weight that I gave it. But even for my height, I'm at a normal weight. Whereas like I used to, when I was like 70 kg, it was saying that I was overweight. And I wouldn't say I was overweight when I looked in the mirror. Like I didn't feel like it was impacting my life in any way, or like I couldn't, you know, run for a bus. But it just, that word overweight resonates with people, and it just raises red flags and they start panicking and stuff like that. But go get a DEXA scanner, take your measurements, you know, get into a calorie deficit, start walking more, and don't pay attention to a BMI, okay? Just focus on your measurements, focus on the scale, focus how you feel in your clothes, focus how you look in the mirror. Don't let a BMI calculator freak you, okay? Hope you've enjoyed this podcast. How did we jump from ADHD to BMI? But there you go. Just don't get caught up in BMI. And if you think you have ADHD, I've given you the recommendation. ADHD Now is the name of the company. I'm not affiliated with them, but they are Irish, and you know, I trust them, and they did a really good job, and it was a really pleasant experience. But until the next one, talk to you soon.